God is not a God of disorder or confusion, but is the God of peace.
If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing.
We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place. Until the day dawns and the morning stars rise in your hearts.
You are tuning into the Tribe of Christians podcast with host
The Chief Sinner, bringing you a peace of mind, clarity, insight, and perspective to the world you live in by the Word of God, featuring the latest updates on end time prophecy news. Don't forget to subscribe to the Tribe of Christians broadcast, either on Stitcher, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Podbean, SoundCloud, Facebook, or YouTube at tribeofchristians.com. Without further ado, here is your host and teacher, the Chief Sinner.
Welcome. Thank you for tuning in to the Tribe of Christians podcast. I am your host, the Chief Sinner. On Wednesday, February 14th, on Valentine's Day, at Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, 17 children and adults were shot to death with 14 others injured. Just 3 months ago at Sutherland Springs Baptist Church on Sunday, November 5th, 2016, 26 children and adults were killed along with 20 others injured. And just 4 months ago, just 3 weeks literally prior to the Sutherland Springs shootings on the Las Vegas Strip, Sunday, October 1st, 2017, 58 people were shot to death and 546 others were injured. So far in the last 3 years, there have been over 20 major mass shootings. In the last 10 years, there have been over 50 major mass shootings. And in the last 30 years, there have been approximately 100 major mass shootings. I've taken the data from every single major mass shooting from the last 30 years or so. How many mass shootings per year? How many deaths and victims in each incident per year? And which U.S. president was presiding over those shootings, and I put together several findings. What is going on here? Is there a connection between the end times and the increase of mass shootings and violence? Are the mass shootings a result of a particular president or any political party system? How should Christians and the church view this? And is there anything that we can do or should do to stop it? I have all of the answers coming up in this episode's podcast. In every episode, I say it, and I can't stress this enough. If we want to know the truth, if we want to know what is really happening here and why it is happening here, we have to gain the correct perspective. The key to understanding the times that we are in, the key to understanding Bible prophecy, and the key to gaining a biblical mindset is always going to be perspective. Without perspective, our aim is off. Our conclusions are off. Our course is off. We have to take a step back out of our thoughts, any premeditated ideas that we have, and we have to look at all sides here and ask God to show us what the connections are. We can't look at what we think is right or wrong here. We can't look at what we think is fair or isn't fair. God doesn't show favoritism. He isn't fair. He is just. He is God. He does what is right in His eyes according to His word and His kingdom. There are many moving parts when it comes to the kingdom. God is always speaking, and nothing happens by chance or randomness. And we know from Scripture and according to the book of Job that nothing happens outside of God's control. If it is happening, then it's happened for a reason. We are the clay and He is the potter. God has a much grander picture here. And I want you to think about something for just a second. In a small Bible community, there was a man who bought his son a brand new Mustang for his 16th birthday. The son had got his driver's license, as most of us do on our 16th birthday. And it's like a rite of passage ceremony here in the U.S., at least in some states it is. The son asks the father if he can take his car for a drive, and the father says yes. So the son takes his brand new sports car out for a test drive, and while zooming around through town, the son attempts to beat a passing train. And while crossing the tracks, the train hits the car and kills the boy instantly upon impact. The first responders arrive on the scene along with the boy's father. The father walks up to the police officer and he asks him, "Do you believe in God?" And the police officer says, "Yes." Then he asks the police officer, "Where was God when my son died?" The police officer didn't know how to re-answer that question, so he says, "I don't know." So the father walks up to the firefighter and he says to him, "Do you believe in God?" The firefighter responds, "Yes." And the father asks again, "Where was God when my son died?" The firefighter also didn't know how to respond to this question. So he says, "I don't know." So the father goes one by one to all these different people until he finally comes to a paramedic on the scene and he asks him, "Do you believe in God?" And the paramedic says, "Yes." And the father then asks him, "Well, where was God when my son died?" The paramedic stands there silent for a moment. Then he turns to the father and he responds by saying the same place he was when his own son died. Jesus told us that there will be many trials and tribulations, not just the tribulation period that we so famously talk about concerning the end times. He told us that no servant is greater than his master. Therefore, we will face all kinds of stuff, persecution in its various forms, slander, oppression, tribulation, evil in every single kind of form. Paul tells us that to consider it pure joy when facing these various kinds of things because it is for the purpose of faith and building up our faith and endurance. In the previous episode, Faith of the Gentiles, I talk about what faith is. The Greek New Testament word for faith is pistos, meaning to persuade. Faith is given and not earned or obtained, straight from the Father in heaven through the Holy Spirit for the purpose of building up his kingdom. So when we face tribulations of any kind, rather in death or sickness, we have to understand that it isn't always 100% the devil just causing havoc. Sometimes the purpose of faith is that somewhere down the road, God is thinking about somebody else that he wants to save. Somebody else that he wants to win over to his kingdom. He is going to do it through your life. So, if God didn't even spare his very own son, his one and only begotten son, the very definition of love for our sake, for his kingdom's sake, then who are we to be any different? Daniel was thrown into the lion's den and later was beheaded. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all three were thrown into a blazing fire. They said, "God is able to save and deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow down." And behold, rather through death or salvation, God is glorified. The key to understanding what is happening right now comes right from Jesus' very own words in Matthew 24:9-11. He says this, "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people." I think for those of us here in the United States of America, we really have it good compared to anybody else in the world. And we like to preach about all the famous signs of the end times like earthquakes, famines, wars, diseases, etc. But one of the most greatest signs of the end times that we never talk about that always gets overlooked in these verses right here, verses 9 through 11, about persecution, hatred, and death. Jesus says it right there. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. We did see a lot of persecution of the early church. 11 of the 12 apostles were put to death for their faith, nearly all of them martyrs. But Jesus says three key indicating words that are very specifically relating to one time, one specific time in history. He says, at that time, meaning the end times, the times just before his second great coming and return, the times of the end. So, according to Jesus, in the description of the end times, he tells us that something apparently so catastrophic is going to happen that will turn many people away from their faith in Christ and turn them against each other and hate one another. Now, what would cause the United States of America, or let's just say any country or people group on the planet, to abandon their faith in Christ and turn against one another? You might be tempted to say, nah, that is never going to happen to us. I would like to point out that division in our country is happening right now already, and it's happening in the name of liberty, freedom, and civil rights. We've had many violent protests over race, ethnicity, sexual preference, politics, immigrations, and police brutality, and so much more. And it's happening to us. It's happening right now. And it's only just the beginning of it. And I'm sure you've had very hard, difficult times in your life where you felt like giving up and quitting on something. I know I have. And 99% of the times when I became frustrated, when I felt that things were not just or fair, when bad things happened and evil prospered, I felt that God wasn't there and had abandoned me. There were many difficult things that I personally faced. I faced divorce. I faced homelessness. I knew what it was like to live out of a backpack in a Greyhound bus station. I faced a miscarriage with my wife, the death of an unborn child, and we're still trying to conceive. To this day, I still face terrible slander from my exes and my past in the name of God and religion. So I think America and the world is at a turning point right now. I talked in previous episodes about President Trump and the U.S. Embassy move. I've talked about how the establishment of a Jewish Jerusalem is the agent that initiated the generational countdown clock to the end. If you haven't listened to that episode, check it out. I showed you specifically the timing that we are in. I talked about the 70th anniversary of Israel, the 50th anniversary jubilee of Jerusalem. I talked about the four blood moons, the Revelation 12 sign that happened this past September, and the great American eclipse, all signs pointing to significance that God is speaking. I've got a video clip here that I want to play you right now that I shared back in December about the prophetic season of 2018. Let's take a quick listen to it.
So what does all this mean? Looking at the entire picture, everything from the beginning to the end, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, from God's very own perspective, we are entering a special time period, what Jesus spoke about, what he prophesied in Matthew chapter 24, known as the fulfillment of the Gentiles. This is the generation, or the 70 years, that will witness the completion or fulfillment of God's entire word to the very end. This generation, between now, this moment, and the next 70 years, will witness the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ. This is also known as the beginning of Jacob's trouble, or the birthing pains. Two very important things are going to happen. First, or one, is the incredible, magnificent, and miraculous outpouring of God's Holy Spirit in order to fulfill and bring to completion his prophetic word. And number two, the second thing is the rise of evil, lawlessness, and corruption, exactly as Jesus described would be like in the days of Noah. We've already began to witness at least one of these things, the horrific accounts of violence, deadly massacres.
Hear it there, sustained automatic gunfire at the concert. People were running for cover or crouching down to try to avoid being hit.
Texas are now saying that several people have been shot by a gunman at a church in the town of Sutherland Springs.
Traumatized and injured clubbers were helped from the scene and taken to hospital for treatment. One mother received texts from her son who said they were trapped in the toilets and they feared they were going to die. Another mother was distraught trying to find out if her son was still alive.
Now, I believe the outpouring of the Holy Spirit has already begun, just as it is described in Zechariah chapter 12. God said that his spirit would fall on his people and they would be like the spirit of David. However, since news agencies only like to report things that are going to profit them, like the negative stuff and scandals, I don't believe we're going to see it on the news stations. However, God's word will prosper more than anything else and faster than wildfire. So what does this mean personally for you and I and for our local communities? Evangelist and pastor Perry Stone from the Manifest television series on TBN prophesied that revival will break out in rural towns, that people will be led out and away from major cities for safety due to the fear of violence and will be led to the churches to hear God's word.
I hear the Spirit of God say this, and I remember the anointing was so heavy when this came forth. I remember the good, but my people don't. But, and I will give you an inheritance. I will give you another chance because of what you planted in the past, what those before you have planted in the past. It will come up before God one more time. You're going to see, as men speak of pockets of selective judgment, so likewise there is pockets of selective revival. Areas where people will pray and pray and worship until the glory is seen. That just happened. It will not be the type of meeting that will make attention from coast to coast, but in that region and with those people, the town will know there's a visitation from heaven going on. Listen, Mark, listen to this. And it will be known as the rural revival because people will begin to leave large cities, says the Spirit of God, not in droves or in masses, but they're going to begin to pull away and not know why, but go into mountain areas, into smaller cities because of the danger. Now, this may be a revelation of what's coming. Because of the dangers and the fear and the mobs and the robbing and looting and stealing, and God's talking about in major cities, the people will be drawn to where the good people are, where they hear that people love each other and they care about one another. Some will come and they'll have no background in the Word. They'll have no background in the things of the Spirit, but they'll be drawn here because of the mercy of God and drawn to places because of the mercy of the Lord for people. And the good people who know the Lord and know their God shall teach them the things of the Lord. One more time, listen to this, because the Lord says he still cares because he said there is still more than a remnant. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
One of our darkest days as a city, and I know that we're much better than this.
They're now firing pepper spray directly at the crowd, trying to keep them away from the exit that the Trump crowd wants, the Trump supporters want to use.
The same exact event actually has happened before. In Matthew chapter 3:3-8, John the Baptist is preaching out from the wilderness, away from the city, in which thousands of people are led by the Holy Spirit to be baptized and preserved, saved from destruction. That's found in verse 8 and 9. This was the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and a few years before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. I believe that we're entering into a very identical time.
If you haven't seen that video yet, it is posted on our main homepage of our website, tribeofchristians.com, and the video is called the 2018 Prophetic Season. We are now in the stages of the countdown and the final preparations of the end times. In the video, the clip we just heard, I said two things were going to happen at the same time and will happen very fast and are inevitable. The first thing will be the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with select pockets of revival happening in rural places. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, visions, dreams, and more is going to be given. And the second thing that will happen at the same time will be the rise of evil, lawlessness, and hatred towards one another. We are witnessing both of them at the same time right now. Now, the purpose is the preparation for the end times, the setup for the platform for the false prophet, the Antichrist, and for people to be led completely astray. Think about football tryouts and the trials for the special forces in our military. The purpose is to weed out those who don't belong. Right now, everybody in the world claims Christianity. I talked previously in the episode called The Great Harvest from the parable of the wheat and tares and how there are two harvests happening right now at the same time. The first harvest is the Lord's harvest, and then the other is Satan's harvest, the devil. Both in the same place at the same time, both look identical from the outside. If you Google a picture of a wheat and a tare, you'll see that they look very similar, but only one of them is good for food while the other is poisonous. So there is a process to separate the two. The process is trials and tribulations. Those who love Christ will be faithful regardless of what happens to them. Those who are counterfeits will not. Remember the story of Solomon's first sign of wisdom when he became king? And remember, the scripture says that wisdom, true wisdom, comes from God. And the beginning of all wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Now, there were two women who claimed the same child, but one of the women was willing to allow the child to be cut in half, while the other was willing to give up that child for the sake that that child might live. That was how Solomon knew who the child truly belonged to. That was the picture of Christ and the church, my friends. There are counterfeits running around out there, the enemy being the ultimate counterfeit. However, the ones who truly belong to Christ will put Jesus and his kingdom first rather than see it divided and destroyed. Christ laid down his very own life for our sake that we might live. He is the one and only true God. And remember the story of Abraham between Sarah and his servant Hagar? There were two children born, Isaac and Ishmael. One of them was a slave and the other was the promise. Through Isaac would produce heirs of Christ through faith, while the other would produce slave heirs through sin. Nothing is by accident or chance. Everything is by purpose and meaning. So, now is the time of separating, and it's only going to increase and get much more severe. So, let's talk about the data and the facts for just a second, so that you know without a question of a doubt what is really happening here and what the true focus and the perspective is. I don't want you to be distracted. This is strictly 100% data-based in which we know is absolutely true. And all this data comes from a study that was published on the website MotherJonesInvestigation.com between 1982-2018, where all this data was collected from various public information and law enforcement agencies. The location, date, type of incident report, deaths, injured, total victims. And the mass shootings were classified by either school, workplace, religion, or other. We're going to start first with the major mass shootings that most of us are aware about. Starting with the Columbine High School Massacre, Littleton, Colorado. April 20th, 1999, 13 deaths and 24 were injured. Next is the Virginia Tech Massacre, Blacksburg, Virginia, April 16th, 2007, 32 deaths, 23 injured. Fort Hood Massacre, Fort Hood, Texas, November 5th, 2009, 13 deaths, 3 injured. Aurora Theater Shootings in Colorado, July 20th, 2012, 12 deaths and 7 injured. Sandy Hook Elementary School, December 14th, 2012, 27 deaths, 2 injured. The Washington Navy Shipyard, Washington, D.C., September 16th, 2013, 12 deaths, 8 injured. Charleston Church Shootings in Charleston, South Carolina, June 17th, 2015, 9 deaths, 1 was injured. Bernardino mass shootings, San Bernardino, California, December 2nd, 2015, 14 killed, 21 injured. The Orlando Club Massacre in Orlando, Florida, June 12, 2016, 49 deaths, 53 injured. The Las Vegas Strip Massacre, Las Vegas, Nevada, October 1st, 2017, 58 deaths, 546 people injured. Sutherland Springs Baptist Church, November 5th, 2017 in Texas, 26 killed, 20 injured. Stoneman Douglas High School shootings, Parkland, Florida, February 14th, 2018, 17 killed and 14 injured. There have been, at least, according to the data of these reports, 850 deaths in the last 30 years from mass shootings. 2017 was the most deadly year we have ever had as a nation as far as civilian mass shootings, with 11 mass shootings resulting in at least 144 deaths. The second most deadly year was both 2016 and 2012, with 6 to 7 mass shootings both apart, separately resulting in 71 deaths. And the third most deadly year was in 2007, with 4 mass shootings resulting in 53 deaths. According to the data, it is true that the frequency of mass shootings and the intensity is getting worse and more violent over time. It is true that neither location, rather urban or rural, city or the suburbs, matters when it comes to the overall safety from these types of incidences. The Sutherland Springs Baptist Church shooting has proven to us that anything can happen to anybody, anywhere, even in a small secluded community in a church. Out of 95 recorded incidences from this study, 20% of those incidences happened in schools. 30% of them happened in the workplace. 5% happened in religious places of worship, and 45% happened in other various places. Some of them happened even in airports and on military bases. So, in other words, nobody is safe or excluded from this. Data suggests that over the last 30 years, shootings weren't a reflection influenced by a particular political governing administration, either Democratic or Republican, but rather reveal, the data reveals that it is an overall moral decline of the nation overall. Presidents over the last 30 years who resided over the shootings, we're going to start with President Reagan, 1980 through 1988, there were 6 shootings in his during his time of his administration. During George Bush, 1988 through 1992, there were 9 shootings during his tenure. Bill Clinton, 1992 through 2000, 8 shootings happened in his first term, 11 happened in his second term, with a total of 19 shootings. George Bush Jr., through 2000 through 2008, 4 in his first term, 12 in his second term, with a total of 16 shootings. Barack Obama, in 2008 through 2016, 17 shootings happened in his first term. 22 shootings happened in the second term, with an overall of 39 shootings. President Donald Trump, from 2016 to present, 2018, 19 shootings have happened so far in his first term. 54% of the suspects or the perpetrators had documented mental illness and were subjected to abuse while growing up. 26% of them, it was unclear or unknown if they had any kind of mental illness or abuse. And 20% of them had no documented history of mental illness or abuse. So, it's not just the mentally ill who are killing people. The Huffington Post published an article a few years back written by Steve McSwain called "Why Nobody Wants to Go to Church Anymore." In this article, Steve basically summarized that the state of the church overall is dying. According to the Hartford Institute of Religion Research, more than 40% of Americans say they go to church weekly. As it turns out, however, less than 20% are actually in church. In other words, more than 80% of Americans are finding more fulfillment in things to do on weekends. Furthermore, somewhere between 4,000 and 7,000 churches close their doors every year. Southern Baptist researcher Tom Rainer, in a recent article entitled 13 Issues for Churches in 2013, puts the estimate actually a lot higher. He says between 8,000 and 10,000 churches will likely close this year. Between the years 2010 and 2012, more than half of all churches in America added not one new member. Each year, nearly 3 million more previous churchgoers entered the ranks of the religiously unaffiliated. He further summarizes that there are seven basic reasons, which are demographics, technology, leadership crisis, church scandals, competitions, religious pluralism, the contemporary worship experience, and the phony television evangelist movement. Another article published by Fox News points out that the decline and the brokenness of the American family is resulting from abuse and mental disorder. Now, we can talk all day long about politics. We can argue on the basis of the Second Amendment constitutional rights. We can suggest arming or unarming citizens. We can point blame and fingers at every single president. But in reality, none of these things have anything to do with what's happening. And there's a much more greater threat at bay here. Because everything that is happening right now has already happened before in history. It will happen again. It was prophesied by all of the prophets and Jesus himself, as I pointed out earlier. No matter what we do, we are always going to reach the same conclusion. No matter how hard we try, we're going to reach the same destination. You can change every single variable. You can manipulate every control. You can do everything in the world, but it is always going to add up to the same exact sum every time. God is not a liar. He is true to his word, and he's faithful to it. What he said will happen is going to happen. I don't care how much faith you have, how many degrees you have. It doesn't matter what you believe or don't believe, because regardless, God's word is his word, and it's going to be fulfilled. The time we are in right now is about bringing it to a fulfillment and a completion of his whole prophetic word. It's about closing the book. It's about the seventh day of rest. 6 days God created, and on the seventh day he rested. The end is coming and is upon us. We have two choices. No matter what, the human race is condemned. We are born into sin, and our flesh inhabits every evil thought under the sun. We are evil. That's never going to change. Until Jesus comes back and sets everything straight, evil is going to always exist. And it doesn't come from Satan or just him. It comes from within, our very own flesh. Jesus didn't tell us to kill those who kill us. He didn't tell us to defend ourselves against an intruder. Jesus told us to put the kingdom first. And that's in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, all other things will be added unto you. He tells us to put Jesus, put Christ first, put love first. He told us to love and pray for our enemies. He told us to turn the other cheek. He told us to forgive those who trespass against us. He said to Peter, whoever lives by the sword will die by the sword. Now, I'm not talking about being ignorant. There are things that we can do to help heighten our awareness and preparedness. Even Jesus left the area when people were trying to kill him until his time came. So, I'm not suggesting that you stand there and take a beating. But what I am suggesting that is that the answer isn't always about self-defense. The best defense is a great offense. Our perspective shouldn't be fear, but it should be love. They both lead to two very different outcomes. If we spent more time loving others and putting others first, if we spent more time serving one another rather than competing against one another, if we spent more time remaining dedicated and loyal to love rather than dividing, we would prevent the very problems that we have created and caused. Every day, your life comes into contact with thousands of people. We pass people every day going to and from work. We literally have thousands of interactions every single day between one another. Rather, it's putting gas in our car or at the gas pump, driving through traffic, going out to lunch. Unless you are a hermit crab, people surround your life every single day, which means one way or another, you have had an impact or an influence over 1,000 times daily. And all it takes is just one choice to make all the difference, rather life or death. Most of the time, we have become so used to things, we don't stop and think about the details. Just a single word, just the way we sing a single word, just the way we say it, or perhaps a complete lack of communication or simple suggestion of kindness is communicated by us a million times over and over. We could be completely communicating the wrong message and not even realize it. Have we become so consumed with ourselves and our own personal lives that we've completely missed it? I mean, the data is right there. Almost 1,000 deaths were a result from violence. Each one of those persons that committed those crimes had a family of some sort. They all had neighbors of some sort. They grew up having classmates. Didn't Jesus say that the second greatest commandment was to love your neighbor as yourself? The world would be a completely different place if we took that seriously. Therefore, because the nature of our sin, the nature in what we are, Jesus prophesies in Matthew 24 that because of the increase of wickedness, the love of many will grow cold. Violence will increase. People will turn against one another, even in personal families between parents and children. They're going to abandon their faith and betray one another. The question isn't right now, isn't it, that are we in the end times or not? It's very clear that we are, or at least drawing very near to it. The question is, what does God want us to do? He wants us to be faithful to love. This isn't about America anymore. This isn't about us. This is about Jesus and his kingdom. It's about love. This is about eternity. Right now, millions are already condemned on a one-way track to eternal condemnation in the lake of fire along with Satan and his demons. This is real, folks. There is no other explanation about this. No matter what gun legislation we pass or don't pass, no matter how hard we try, the end is coming and it's going to only increase more severely as we go. It's like the Titanic. The world is going to be judged. It's going to be destroyed. Our life raft is Christ. Our salvation is love. It's no longer going to come down to just saying it or professing it. It's going to come right down to our very own lives. And I don't say this to scare you. I'm telling you this so that you can understand why everything is happening the way it is and know that God's word is true. There it is right in front of our very own eyes. We are witnessing it. And if we're going to be saved, we've got to start truthfully putting our faith in Christ by what we do. I showed you in the last episode, never be afraid to try, that we can no longer afford to deny one another. The very denial or the rejection of others is to deny and reject Christ. We have really got to get this serious about love. We've got to get serious about loving one another. Time is short. The very next day, you could be faced with a split second chance, a split second decision that will forever determine the rest of your eternity or the eternity of somebody next to you. We know it's true. It doesn't matter where we are in this country, all of us are the exposed of the enemy. What is your choice? God's asking you right now, will you trust him? Will you trust him with your life? Will you follow him in any and every situation so that others might know him? If your decision is yes, I want you to pray this prayer with me right now, out loud, word for word. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for revealing your word to me in your precious Son, Jesus. I thank you for showing me the truth, and I confess that I have sinned, that I'm a sinner, and I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I ask for your Holy Spirit to come into my life and forgive me of those sins. I thank you for Jesus, for dying on the cross for me, and I pray that you continue to help me to grow closer to you. please bless me with relationships that will lead me closer to you and help me to lead others closer to you too. In Jesus' name that I trust and pray, amen. You can find other great teachings just like this one on our website, tribeofchristians.com. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast to get all the latest updates and teachings. Also, please share this message with others on all of your social media sites to help us spread the gospel message. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. This concludes this episode's broadcast. This is the Chief Center with the Tribe of Christians, and may God continue to bless you and be with you.